9:30, WFMD is at your service, featuring local business people who are experts in their field.
Good morning, WFMD listeners. I'm Jay Day.
And Christina Day.
With Real Talk Real Estate. We're here, and important times. You know, we're in the election year. We also had, the Fed just had their meeting. You want to talk about, you know, what type of impact that could have? I mean, it's still sort of fresh, but, you know, go for it.
So, So basically they were saying they were not going to make any change to the Federal Reserve interest rate, which is how the cost of borrowing money goes. So it's not, you know, everybody, we talk about this every time, right? It's not that if they change the rate, there's a direct correlation to the percentage rate that changes on your mortgage. But what it does affect is the cost of borrowing money between the institutions. And then, of course, that gets passed on to the consumer. But with interest rates as it relates to mortgages, it's really impacted more by how the market responds, and the market being the investors on Wall Street with the stocks and the bonds and where they're putting their money. And so that's what truly affects your interest rate on your mortgage. The Fed said that they believe that inflation has eased, but is still up. So depending on where you're looking at that data from, if we're looking at just data, maybe there's facts there. But if you're the consumer, you know, who's living on the front end, we have seen costs go down a little bit in certain things. You know, you go to the grocery store, maybe it's a little less painful. You go to the pump, it's a little less painful. But let's not forget, we are still up dramatically from where we were. You know, when I go to the grocery store, I mean, you said to me the other day, we had like five bags of groceries in the car, and he's like, good Lord, what'd you pay for this? You
know? Yeah, yeah. And it's, I mean, rates aren't going to come down until, you know, as much as they say the inflation, all of these things, realistically, they have to keep the rates up to try to make people spend less money.
Right.
Bottom line, that's the most basic, simple way to look at it. And as long as, you know, they're you know, things are still expensive and they're trying to keep people from spending a lot of money, they are not going to make this decrease. Now, last year they teased and said they were going to.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone sort of expected this last one to sort of stay par. What shocked me was the comments that were made there, where they actually hinted that, you know, well, one, they said they most likely won't be changing them in March either, and they mm-hmm. could potentially increase. So that was pretty interesting, because if they feel like they need to increase, then obviously there's not stating the words that they're concerned of inflation still,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
that's basically
the
what
sentiment.
That means.
Yes.
And
so they did say that their unemployment was still low, that there were job gains last year, but they've kind of moderated, right? And I think that there's this also a skewed sense of what those numbers look like, because there was, I mean, the employment rate was also dramatically affected by the COVID policies, right? And so now we're coming back into a more normalized life where you actually have to go to work if you want to pay your bills. It's kind of a crazy thing, right? But you know, when we look at the interest rates themselves, they are predicting that they could get down into the lower fives this year by the end of the year, right? Now, that's a maybe, that's a what if, that's a prediction, but
that's a election year.
Yes. But that's what, you know, in looking at the research and in looking at the predictions from the, you know, Mortgage Watch and places like that, Housing Wire, they are saying that they're thinking that the rates are going to come down to the low fives, which would, of course, for us in real estate, really help move things. Now, buyers, that sounds real appealing, and it's really exciting to hear that you might be able to get a 5-ish% interest rate, right? But here's what's going to happen when that happens. Everybody's coming back out of the woodwork, and they're all going to want to buy houses, and we're going to start to see some crazy activity. And in our little section of the show, Tales from the Street, we're going to tell you about what we're seeing right now with the activity that's been driven by the interest rates coming down. Because early in January and coming out of December, we were up in the 8 range, right? And then we saw it drop down to currently, at the beginning of the week, we were at about 6.125 on a conventional and 5.75 on a government loan. And we've been seeing this for about a month now.
Yeah, it's teetering back and forth. The government one is just a little below 6, and then it goes just a little above 6. Mm-hmm. It's been sort of balancing back and forth in there.
Well, yeah, I mean, they said that this is actually the lowest it's been since May of 23, and we peaked around 8% in October. So we're seeing this rush of people, and we actually have seen that in, you know, our listings and our buyers competing, right?
So they're starting to acknowledge that this may be as good as it gets, or the new normal. They're learning that, you know, 2.5, 3, 3.5 is not normal. And if they're going to wait, they could be waiting, like, you know, I think it's one of the ads we have where there's like a skeleton sitting there just waiting for things to change.
Yes.
So, you know, and if things do drop that dramatically, you could always do a refinance, assuming that you know, still the values don't drop and there's still no indication of values dropping on what homes are worth.
Mm-hmm. No, there's definitely not. And that's, you know, that's part of the challenge is there's all these mixed messages out there in the media, right? You hear, oh, there's going to be a foreclosure crisis. Yes, foreclosures are up compared to what they were during COVID.
Because they stopped them.
Because they put a moratorium on them, right? So they said you cannot foreclose. So of course the foreclosure numbers went down because they weren't allowing them.
Yeah, it's like you see headlines, foreclosures up 200%. Well, yeah, if there was zero, it's not really hard to get those numbers. Because it's always a story that the media wants to paint. So you look at it and they can either give, you know, they don't say, oh, there was, you know, 5 foreclosures in this month and now this year there was 15. They have to use the percentages to make it seem scarier than what it really is.
Absolutely. And, you know, we do foreclosure work as well. There's none really out there. It's, you know, that's not a source of option for people to purchase. And it's not been, you know, on our end. We see very few coming out and around. And it really is stuff that has been in the pipeline for years.
And even there was one that was coming up in the area and that we were possibly going to be working with. And the bank, with all the changes that have happened with the foreclosure process, they are still trying to work with buyers to reinstate and to try to fix it.
You mean with owners?
With owners, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's definitely, they're not pressing as hard as they have in the past because I think the regulations and all of the different hoops that you have to jump through being a bank to do a foreclosure, they just want to make sure it's, you know, the person truly can't afford it, or I mean, if the house is vacant, it's a different story.
Yeah,
if somebody's living in a house and they want to try to make it work, it's a long process.
Yeah, and I think that there's a lot of programs out there now that do accommodate people and their, you know, reworking of things financially to make it work. That currently, though, the numbers are actually, there's still only 60% of the foreclosures we had pre-COVID. So, I mean, that's low because even pre-COVID, we had very few foreclosures. Nothing like back in, 2012 to 2000.
Yeah, right after the, during the bust when we were doing, I don't know, I felt like we did, you know, 100. It was probably not that many in a year.
It was
we did.
At least, I would say it was at least, there was times where I was carrying 50 a year.
Yeah.
You know? So that was a lot.
It was
and that was just us. And that was, we were just a small little cog in the wheel.
And just one bank.
Yeah. Yeah. So don't worry. Don't foresee this foreclosure thing, you know, being a big deal. But, you know, that is something that the media does bring out and talk about. And that goes into the mixed messages and the confusion for buyers and sellers as to what's going to happen. So talking about activity and the things that we're actually seeing happening, we've had multiple listings this last month that have had multiple offers, lots of showings, very busy open houses. We're seeing offers come back that are competing, that are going above asking, that are going back to having appraisal guarantees, that are going back to waiving inspections. And we're seeing that more and more. And we're not only seeing it on our listings, but we're seeing it when our buyers are writing on other properties. And when we find out we didn't get it for whatever reason, these are the contributing factors.
Yeah, it's the appraisal gaps were almost non-existent, except in small pockets.
Yes.
And I would say it was, if we had four offers on a house, maybe one of them didn't ask for inspections, where now it's sort of flip-flopped. Mm-hmm. We're not getting all of them with no inspections, but the people that are putting the inspections in are typically the ones not getting the houses.
Right.
In a multiple offer situation, because there's enough people that are foregoing their inspections, which, again, we can never recommend because you never know. But at the same time, if you really want the house, there's, you know, there are risk factors you have to weigh and see what makes the most sense for you.
Yeah. And we're seeing, I actually had on one where they do what's called a pre-inspection. So they bring an inspector in for basically like a showing, and the inspector does a quick inspection, not a full inspection, but they do a quick inspection of some of the major aspects and components, and then they can give them a good idea as to if this is going to be a red flag house or not. And that way they can write with a little more confidence. And the inspectors that we've seen doing that, you know, they charge a lesser amount because it's a lesser intense inspection as far as time and thoroughness goes. But
they're hitting the big components, you know, HVAC, electrical, roof.
Yeah. As an agent working with a buyer, I cannot in good faith tell a buyer, waive inspections. This is one of the biggest purchases of your life. This is a huge financial investment. And at the very least, I would recommend that you try to do at least the mini pre-inspection if the seller is agreeable to it, because you need to go in with your eyes wide open. There's been a lot of people who bought a lot of things with doing no inspections, and then they got a lot of big surprises.
Well, yeah, and I mean, even
shortly after buying.
Yeah, even earlier this year, when we had almost every offer having inspections, we had lots of people canceling and us reselling homes because, you know, it's a combination of things. And I've said this before, I don't think that everyone owning a home is not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on an extremely tight budget, and if your water heater goes, if your heat goes out, if you are paycheck to paycheck, it is going to be extremely hard to be a homeowner because life happens. Stuff happens. I mean, even if it's covered by insurance, you still have deductibles. You still have.
Well, we had that leak in our house. What was that, around Thanksgiving? There was a pinhole or a small hole in a pipe that had been there for a while, probably over a year. And it wasn't until there was a small backup in the plumbing that caused it to reveal itself. And we had a massive leak.
Yeah.
And, you know, we take great care of our house. We're very thorough with maintenance. Something completely out of the blue, beyond our control. We had a massive, what, like 8-foot by 5-foot section of drywall out, molding out, you know, ServPro had to come in and dry out the house. And so that, just to go through insurance, was going to cost us over $1,000 for a deductible.
Yeah, and then they wouldn't have covered the plumbing side of it because
it was an issue with the plumbing.
When we had our roof leak, we had to fight with the insurance company on that.
Yeah.
And that was an active leak, and we had a tarp on our roof for, it felt like, months before.
It was months.
We went through that with the insurance company
for months.
Yeah, I mean, but if it wasn't through insurance, you know, the roof cost was like $30,000.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a small thing. And the same thing with, I'm still always shocked when I see offers come over when people have well and septic and they don't do septic inspections, because it is so costly to replace
a septic
system. I mean, and there's so many parts where things can go wrong. You know, whether it's drain fields, whether it's, you know,
the tank,
the baffles, there's so many different pieces to it. And then sometimes you have to have it reperked. And
yeah.
I mean,
if you have a failure, you are having it. Like if the drain fields have failed, you definitely are reperking. And, you know, that can be problematic in the area too. So guys, the point is if you're buying, just because the interest rates are at 6-ish, and you hear they might go down to 5-ish, if it were me and I were you, I would get out there and I would get looking. And there are things to see. You know, I actually have a client who's relocating from out of the area. When we were together, 13 homes we looked at within about a $100,000 window of pricing, which sounds big, but it's really not.
And that was just in one day.
That was in one day. And now, a week later, we're looking at 12 of them, right?
And 12 new ones.
12 different ones, yes, not revisits. So there are things out there to see. And if you really want to talk about inventory, like Frederick County's inventory, you know, which is what we always focus on, we are low for inventory still overall, but the inventory is ticking up. Guess how many coming soons we had coming into February and out of January?
Oh, just take a guess. Yeah, I haven't.
I know.
I have no idea. 20.
41 coming soons.
Wow. Wow.
And the median price on that was $550. Actives, when we came out of January, I pulled the numbers fresh right as we entered into February. We had 136 actives with a median price of $509,000, median days on market 28. Now, those days on market are a lot higher than what we saw a year and a half, 2 years ago,
yeah.
Right? So for you buyers, there's a good sign there, right? There's inventory coming. There's a little bit of inventory there, but the inventory is definitely coming, and the days on market is still kind of hanging out there. Now, what I did notice when I was evaluating the numbers, the days on market for those that are active was 28, and the median price was 509. Those that were under contract were 13 days on the market, and the median price was 475.
So they're selling in 2 weeks or so,
yes.
Which is still not bad because, you know, before you were spending 20 minutes in a house, spending half
yes.
$1 million.
Yeah.
Now, and I don't know if you've noticed it on yours. I've noticed on some of my listings that we're seeing people come back for second showings.
Yes. Sometimes third and fourth.
Yeah. Just, and that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really, you know, when you look at how much money people are spending, whether you're spending $200,000, $500,000, $800,000, it's all relative. And most of the people that are buying, it's a percentage of what their income is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all the same. It impacts all of the people in the same way, no matter what the sales price is. It's basically the biggest purchase, like you said.
Yeah.
So to not feel rushed. Now, again, there are some that, you know, we've had quite a few that sell in, you know, the first weekend.
Yeah. We've been seeing a lot more of that again, which,
yeah.
which is great for our sellers. So a message to you sellers is, you know, you definitely want to think about getting your house on the market before there is a large influx of spring listings.
Yeah.
And when we talk about what is spring, right? So if you go into Home Goods or where was I yesterday? I was in Michael's Craft Store. Spring has sprung. There's peonies everywhere, right? But the reality is spring market starts pretty early around here. You know, we are, and that's where I think you're seeing this 41 coming soon in Frederick County alone, right?
Normally, though, I would say we expect it. We start seeing it in March.
Yep.
So the fact that we're seeing, because coming soon, you can only be in coming soon for 21 days. So those are going to be hitting in February.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of people that took their homes off the market around the holidays where we encouraged our people, go on the market. We're going to get them sold. Because if people really need to buy, those are our more motivated buyers.
Yes.
They're not the, maybe I could find something.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know you had one that just closed this past week, and I think those people went through that house multiple times. And,
they did. They did.
It's, like I said, it's, the interesting part is, you know, now is not the time to be dealing with people on the novice side. You want to deal with people that can help you, educate you, inform you, and say, you know, I mean, I know I've heard people saying, oh, well, you know, the market slowed down, so maybe I can get it for under asking, you know, and we're like, the house has been on the market for 2 days. So part of the thing is doing the educational piece of, okay, here's your price point. Here's the area you're looking in. These are the neighborhoods. Here's what the data is over the last 45 days. Here's what it was if you would have done something 90 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And 90 days ago, you may have been able to negotiate a little more.
Yeah.
So it's your agent's job to be able to give you that education. And I don't mean it in a negative way when I say you don't want to deal with a novice, but if they haven't had as many transactions, if they haven't had as many negotiations, they are just not going to know what's really going on.
Right. And the same thing when you're representing a seller, if not even more, right? Because sellers are really hoping we have a crystal ball and that we can predict the future. And I tell my sellers now, I know what I know today. I can't tell you what's going to happen next week. You know, I
yeah,
can tell you what I think might happen next week, but there are any number of things that could negatively impact that or positively impact that. So we're really monitoring our sellers who are in the prepping their home stage or in coming soon. We're really monitoring the activity in the area, rechecking what's our competition, rechecking what is our price point, and trying to get them the best idea of what to expect going forward. Yeah,
especially when we've got sellers that are doing updates to the home. We tell them when we meet with them, okay, so as of right now, here's what we think the price would be of what it would sell for. And then we go back and we relook at that. We re-pull comps before it hits coming soon. And then we relook at comps again before it goes live.
Yeah.
That's part of the job, because we don't want any money being left on the table, but we also don't want to overshoot and be in a situation where the home sits on the market for too long.
Yeah.
Especially if you know, every client has a different focus. Some of them just want things to happen very quickly. Others are like, you know, and again, we give them multiple strategies. We had, you know, whether it's a pricing it right at where we think it would be, or just a tad under to try and drive in multiple offers, or, you know, those that have a little more time, we give them the pros and the cons of testing the market. It's been, you know, and again, it's changed. Testing the market a year ago was, you know, a no-brainer. Testing the market a couple months ago, you were really pushing your luck.
Yeah. and it comes down to, I just had this conversation with somebody, patience or price. Right?
Yeah.
Those are your choices, patience or price. And sometimes the patience pays off. I mean, you've had clients, I've had clients where patience paid off and it got them where they needed to be. But it's you can't get mad about the timing when you're going the patience route, right?
Yeah.
Because when you go the patience route, you're hoping for that one right person who's going to come along and see the value in what you have. When that person shows up is completely out of our hands. All we can keep doing is marketing, 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 so that when that person does show up, they know that you exist. The other factor there is with the patience plan, right? You're waiting for that one right person, but you're also waiting for your inventory levels and your competition to shift, and that you have that opportune window where there isn't somebody else out there who's better than you.
Right.
Right? So,
yeah.
Or capturing your person's attention. And there becomes a point where you go, okay, there's been X amount of showings. There's been this feedback. This is where I need to evaluate my positioning. And I either need to be okay with riding it out, or I need to bring my price down so that I attract a wider variety of people.
Yeah, it's, I always use it as the funnel. You know, if we want it, if you work at the wider part of the funnel, you're going to have more options. If you're tightening the funnel, you obviously have less, and it may take a little bit longer. And you're right. We've had some clients that have waited it out, and it's taken, you know, 3 months, 4 months, and we got the number that they wanted.
Yeah.
Because there was no rush factor. And the interesting part is sometimes you just have a unique property. Sometimes you have something that's only going to appeal to a small percentage of people. And in those cases, as long as your agent is being upfront and honest with you and saying, hey, here's the deal. This is unique. Here's what our competition is. And it might not be like a apples to apples competition. But let's say you have a townhouse that's like a big townhouse. It's 2,600 square feet. And, you know, you're competing with new townhomes, and those new townhomes are only 1,800. And then with the basement, it brings it up a little bit. You have to tell them, hey, even though you're not this type and that's a little different, that is going to be your competition, because mm-hmm. people are going to look and say, wow, I can have brand new. Yeah, it's a little smaller, but everything is brand new. And part of that is we're in this unique market where people will, you know, people that are not in our area always say to us, why are you licensed in all these different states? And it's because our buyers are okay with being a 30-mile radius from work. And that can take them into not just multiple counties, but multiple states.
Right.
So you can't just say, hey, you know, it's not everybody is going to say, I need to be in the school district.
Well, and I think with the limited inventory that we've been experiencing, that people are much more geared towards shopping in their price point, not shopping for a particular type of house. So
yeah.
Unless you have like the one I just had closed that you were talking about was a farmette. They have very specific needs, right? They want a barn, they want a pasture. That's a very specific buyer.
And that's a very narrow part of the funnel.
That is a very narrow part of the funnel. And aside from that, though, if you look at, okay, let's say we're talking about somebody coming into the area, they've got a budget that's 400-ish. We're going to look down to 350. Maybe we look a little above. And we're going to look at singles. We're going to look at towns. We're going to look at a multitude of things because we don't have the luxury of having 20 single families around 400.
Right.
You know, and we're going to look in a 30, 40 mile radius because we don't have the luxury of looking in one isolated area.
Yeah,
that's just what the market's dictating.
Yeah, the only time we have that, and that's when we have a conversation when someone is, I don't want my kids to change school districts. I want them to stay in the school. And that's when we say, hey, come in the office. Let me show you what has sold in this school district. And, you know, maybe you can buy, or we might tell you it's just not possible. So either you're going to be comfortable changing school districts or you're going to have to rent.
Yeah. And good luck finding those.
Yeah, I was going to say, the rental side has not been easy either. I mean, what all this means is, you know, the real estate market is a very interesting place to navigate. You definitely want to have a professional in your corner. Not to toot our own horns, but we've been doing this. You've been involved in real estate from the mortgage and real estate side for what, 30?
Almost 30 years.
Almost 30 years.
1996.
That's before me. I've been in it 20 years. We've seen lots of ups and downs. We've seen lots of different markets. The neat thing is, again, with the amount of business we do, we're not the high pressure person. We're not the, you walk on the car lot and we're trying to close you, or we come into your living room like the carpet salespeople and say,
If you sign today,
this is the price I'll give you. If anything, we're like, you know, typically we're like, all right, now we're going to leave. This is a lot of information we gave you. We want you guys to talk it over. Make sure you're comfortable.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we can reconvene if it makes the most sense and come up with the game plan that makes sense for your situation. So if you have any questions at all, don't hesitate to reach out to us. You can visit our website, dayhometeam.com, dayhometeam. That's dayhometeam.com. You can call us, 866-702-9038. Again, 866-702-9038. I'm Jay Day.
And Christina Day.
With Real Talk Real Estate. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back with you in March.
Past editions of this program are available in the audio vault at WFMD.com.